Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Edmundo.
And it is Monday, time for our Business Watch. What is on the cover this week?
We've got an interesting situation coming up, Edmundo. It's going to be in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission Tuesday. This is a situation that we've watched develop for the past couple of years, and it involves the sale and redevelopment of the old Las Cruces Country Club property. Now, you know that's been sitting vacant and idle for a couple of years at least.
I drive by it every single day.
Yeah, and this decision Tuesday in planning and zoning could actually trigger a lot of land swaps and signal some actual start of dirt moving and development on that. The sale of it's a 110-acre site, and Park Ridge Properties has offered $7.1 million for it. Now, both parties, Park Ridge and the Country Club, agreed to this last January, I believe, but it's contingent upon Tuesday's hearing. And I talked to the folks at Park Ridge, and they say that they think everything is pretty well in order. They're confident that they'll get the go-ahead to start development. And what would happen, it would trigger a couple of different sales. The Las Cruces Country Club would hand over their property to Park Ridge Properties, and that, in turn, would spark a deal in which the Country Club is going to acquire the Sonoma Ranch Golf Course to house its organization. That deal, too, it's been inked. It's just waiting on the approval. But the next couple of weeks could see a lot of land changing hands here in town. And then for Park Ridge, the next step for the subdivision, if they get the plan approval, they'll begin doing their drawings for streets and other infrastructure. And then they'll still have to go through the approval and permitting process for those plans. That could come in the next 2 or 3 months. And if that goes well, streets and roads on the old Country Club property, they could be under development in 90 to 120 days. And then the first phase of development, you may recall, is going to be the medical center that has already been approved for rezoning out there. And that's going to be a 42-bed hospital. It's going to be a combination rehab and fitness center, doctor's offices, and an assisted living center. And then further down the road, the second and third phases will be to turn the remaining property into sort of a little urban village. It'll have single and multifamily housing and some retail space, so you can just walk to the end of your street in your newly developed subdivision and pick up what you need from the grocery store. That's going to be a little while down the road. They're planning still some housing, the parks, walking trails, open spaces, but redevelopment on that property, because, you know, it was a golf course from, 1928 until 2011. It's going to be another, 2 years, maybe even three, before we see the houses start popping up. But if Tuesday's vote goes in favor of the subdivision, we could actually start see dirt moving out there and some activity on that space that's going to be the largest infill project in Las Cruces history if it goes through.
And, of course, with this comes the potential for or the reality of jobs.
Absolutely. We'll get a nice construction boom out of it. You know, those are kind of not permanent jobs. But then the medical center, mm-hmm. once it's up and running, that's going to house several jobs. They're going to have separate office spaces. It's not going to be just a quick in and out triage center. They're going to have several facilities there. So that'll, of course, require staffing once it's built. And hopefully this will really revitalize that parcel of town that's just been setting a little weedy recently.
And I drive by it every single day, and I often keep wondering when the time is coming. And so hopefully it's coming coming Tuesday.
Hopefully we pull the trigger on Tuesday.
Perfect. And in the profile this week,
this is an interesting one. I found this at a recent festival here in town. There's a gentleman who runs Messiah Cab Company, Pedicab Company, excuse me. You've probably seen him. He gives historic tours down in Messiah, and basically it's this nice little pedicab, and he pulls it on his bicycle, can seat a couple adults, couple of kids, and he'll go around, and you're in Messiah, you can schedule a historic tour of the area in the old village. And then he also attends a lot of our festivals and the market, and you can find him pretty much if you see a guy pulling around a really looking red wagon. That's the Messiah Valley Pedicab Company, and he does give tours by appointment.
Is he knowledgeable about the areas?
And he's got a background in art history.
Wow.
So he knows very well about our culture and our art, and he can speak to the history of the buildings. A very knowledgeable gentleman, and really makes the ride entertaining. Also gets you off your feet for a little bit and out of the sun. And really just a fascinating little business. He's a bicyclist as well, just for fun. and has expanded now from one to now he's got a second pedicab in the company. So he's
interesting.
Off and pedaling.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting. And then what's new? Enchanted Gardens is in the news.
Yeah. Jackie Meineke has let us know that Enchanted Gardens, the shop that she's run for several years, she's closed it. So she's out of the bulk business. But I talked to her this week, and she said that she is going to keep her hand in or keep her shovel in the ground, so to speak. She's going to continue with some consulting work. And she'll of course keep writing for us her once every other week column at the Las Cruces Sun News on gardening. And she said she's looking forward very much to working in small backyards and on a small scale with friends. Instead of being a landscaper that brings in, I think she put it, trees and shrubs, she considers herself more of a flower garden landscaper. So she's sort of working toward getting plants that are drought resistant, that are very well acclimated to our climate, and that will bloom instead of for a few days once a year, will bloom for months long at a time and keep your space attractive. So she's not quite putting her tools in the shed yet.
Well, that's great to still have her, keep her around. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And Hebert's.
Hebert's. This one was a loss. Hebert's Fine Foods, they're at 525 East Madrid. They've closed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. We were sorry to hear that one go. It was opened in 58 by J.W. Hebert. And in 59, Danny Medina, local Las Cruces, began working for him. And he worked as a chef there, and he was the one that's credited with whipping up the quarter-pound Hebert burger with fries and a shake for $1.50 at the time. And he's also credited with developing their steak fingers. They had, you know, the signature either cream or brown gravy or with some good chili con queso. And, you know, the city as a whole is going to miss that, I think. But his daughter, Anna Medina, took over the business in 97, I believe it was. And I spoke with her as well, and she said it was just time to retire. They've had that place running and served close to 60 years worth of Las Cruces. So
it's a great, sad part of history to be losing that.
Yeah,
but
it's
great
it
that
is.
They're going out on their own terms. And in the column this week, the Green Chamber has come back on board.
Yeah, Carrie Hamlin with the Green Chamber came back on this week. And she talks about the first time that she heard the term localist. She was settling into her job as the executive chamber director here about 3 years ago. And she told me that through the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies that really started the localism movement. And basically what it is, they want to really, again, get people to focus on shopping local and the benefits not only for our local agriculturists, if you're buying local produce, but our local mom-and-pop stores where they may be selling it, as opposed to going to a larger chain, which may be more convenient. And I'll admit I'm guilty of the same thing. If I need something quick, I'll pop in and out of a chain store. But she points to a study that was done in Grand Rapids. And while that's a larger community than we are, she thinks a lot of the numbers translate pretty well. She said that the study found if you get a 10% shift in local spending, meaning 10% of a population started shopping at local stores rather than national chains, you get a result of $137 million in new economic activity, 1,600 new jobs created, and $50 million in new wages. And that, again, that was a larger market. But for every $100 spent locally at a locally owned business, you get about $73 staying in the community. And at a chain, only about $43 stays in the community.
And that's in today's business section.
That's in today's business section, and as always, available at www.lcsun-news.com.
Well, Jason, see you next week.
Thank you, Edmundo.